May it be so. Rise up, O men of God. Sisters, likewise. I would like us to kneel together in prayer before we go into this part of the service. Our loving Father, we thank you, Father, that you are God, and there is none beside thee. Father, we do pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless this service with your presence. Father, you know the subject before us. Father, I confess, I desire not to add anything to or take anything away from your word. And Lord, I ask you for that wisdom. And Father, I pray that you would take and make it practical to each one of our lives. I recognize this morning we're here from varied backgrounds and many different settings. But Lord, we know that no matter what our background or our setting, we've all come from one background, and that is the old Adam, sinful man. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you would bring to light, Father, what you want to bring to light from your word today in this message. Father, I pray you would bless the hearing of your word. And I pray, Father, you would bless the preaching of it too, Lord. Father, give us hearing ears and understanding hearts. And Father, we ask that you would bring to our mind anything, Lord, that we have not thought about that needs to be spoken. And anything, Lord, that we did think about that needs not be spoken, let it not be said. Oh, Father, we want to hear your voice, and we want to walk in your will. Father, thank you for each one that is here. Bless each one. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have meditated for some time on the message that I feel the Lord has given me the liberty, the freedom to share on this morning. We around here make much of, and I believe it's right that we need to forsake all to follow Jesus. Except a man hate his father and his mother, he cannot be my disciple, Jesus said. One man said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go, but let me first go and suffer me to go bury my father. But Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. We see the example of the fishermen, James and John and those, as they left their nets to follow Jesus, and they left their father. Now, I've been meditating for quite a time on this, and looking at another scripture that has just been jumping out at me, and I thought, I believe there's something there that the Lord would have us to learn. So this morning, by the grace of God, I desire to share, honor thy father and thy mother. I believe there is a potential for us in our desire to forsake all to follow Jesus to maybe overstep at times. I'd like us for the introductory scriptures to turn to Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. Here we have the law given to Moses on Mount Sinai, and we have the Ten Commandments here. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Among the other commandments that God gave. But this commandment, he says, to honor thy father and thy mother, and connected with it is a promise, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now let's turn also over to Deuteronomy 5 and take a look there. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 6. Here we have a time later, and Moses is recounting the commandments to Israel again. He has called them all together, and he's giving them the statutes and the judgments of the Lord. In Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16, let us read. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now I see here that Moses expanded upon it a little bit. He said here that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. As Moses is instructing the children of Israel and giving them the statutes and the commandments of the Lord, this is a commandment again with promise. Let us turn back to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now we've taken it from the commandment of the Lord in the Old Testament, and clearly see it carried down into the early church, and the instructions given to the church. Now let us turn back again to Exodus and look at a few verses there in 21. Exodus 21. I could have just read these, but I'd like you to see these for yourself. Exodus 21 and verse 15. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. And verse 17. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Verse 18. I don't know, maybe you think this morning God has changed His mind. Let us turn now to our text where we want to park a while by the grace of God. Mark 7. Mark chapter 7. The message, honor thy father and thy mother. Mark 7 and verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashen hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashen hands? And he answered and said unto them, Well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is Korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. We will cease reading there. Now we know the context of this scripture. It's mainly pointing out the fact that there was an outward worship taking place. There was an outward ceremonialism and ritualism in place, but not a hard experience. And we have preached on that, and that is right to do that. But I'd like us to notice what Jesus refers to in where their sin lie, where it lay. He said, you are doing all these external things, and there's many traditions you're holding to. And he pointed out a number of things. He said, you are hypocrites. Your religion is just a lip service. You're actually alienated. Your heart is far from God. Your worship is vain. You're teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And you lay aside the commandment of God so that you can keep your tradition. And we see that a lot. But brothers and sisters, let's keep the message in here some this morning as we look at the scriptures. Actually, in verse 13 he says, You make the word of God of none effect. It's a dangerous thing. that we would put in place a tradition that is so strong and so held to that we will have it up here above the Word of God, and it makes the Word of God of none effect. And he said, you hypocrites, this is what you are doing. And he said, let me give you an example, by the way. Let me speak plainly to you where there is an area that you are doing this. Verse 10, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. Oh, but they had figured a way out that we can work around this thing. And let me explain to you. You say, if a man say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. You let that man go free from the commandment of honoring his father and his mother. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. And I studied this word, Corban, and what it means is a gift dedicated to God. And they actually did this in this day where this was, in this time frame here where Jesus was giving this to them. He said, you are violating the Word of God and making it of none effect. And here was the practice. It was a gift dedicated to God. And when a person gave a gift or left an estate to God, he pronounced the words, I believe, to the priest, my goods are Corban, or my goods are a gift for the temple. It was an official statement that was legally binding. And once made, the goods belonged to the temple. Now the problem arose when the religious leaders went so far in encouraging these gifts that they overstepped the commandment of God. They went so far in encouraging to give such gifts and estates, and they tried to get the people to give this vow that my gift, my possession, what I have, is dedicated and vowed to the temple. So they tried to secure vows from those who had parents or family members who were in need. And thereby, they made this vow, and they gave their estate, they gave their inheritance gifts or whatever it was, whatever they had, the Lord allowed them to accumulate through life, or the possessions that they had, the finances, the properties, they planned out ahead, and this became such a thing that this was a practice that became a standard practice that people were planning out ahead, and they were vowing themselves and saying, it is Corban, it is a gift, I vow my estate to the church. And therefore, they broke and violated the commandment of God to honor their father and their mother. And in such a case, a person was evading his duty in caring for his family members. Now, who does this apply to? Does this apply to little children? Look at the context. I think sometimes we get the mentality that when I'm married and I'm 21 and I'm on my own, I need no more honor my father and my mother. This was not the context at all. Who does it apply to? Does it just apply to youth who are at home in their parents' house and under their roof, that they need to honor their father and their mother? It certainly does apply to them. It does apply to little children. But it doesn't stop there. Does it apply to only those who have believing parents? Does it apply only if my parents have the same vision that I do? Does it apply only if my parents attend the same fellowship that I do? Some real questions. No, it does not apply only to those who have believing parents. Neither does it apply only if our visions and everything are the same. God said, honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you. I'd like you to consider during the message this morning that if your life is in straits and it's in shambles and you're finding yourself in difficulty, maybe you are violating the commandment of God And therefore, God is not blessing your life. It's very possible. No, it's not only for believing parents. But God commands us in 1 Peter 2:17 to honor all men. Now I want to start on the negative side and end up on the positive. Verse 10, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. So we're going to look at the cursing first. Whoso curses father or mother. Now our brother shared in children's lesson how the man of God, Elisha, cursed those children, and God honored that curse, and those children were slain. Is that what this means? Does this mean that it's a curse that is a strong word? Let's see what it says. What does it mean? This morning I want to convince you. You do not have to curse and swear at your father and mother to curse them. You do not have to give obscene profanity to curse your father or your mother. You don't have to denounce violently and resist and oppose your father and your mother to curse them. The word curse in this instance was a real eye-opener to me. There are many different Greek words that are translated into the word curse in the New Testament in our English language. So it sort of clouds the picture a little bit. Some have an intense, strong meaning. For example, in Galatians, Paul said, cursed be that man that preaches another gospel. And that was a strong word. Let him be anathema, cursed. It carried some strong weight to it. And you know, it was interesting as I studied it, even Peter, as he cursed and he swore that he knew not the man, the Lord Jesus. It was with a strong word. It was with an oath. It was strength. That's not what this means. Well, what does it mean? I'm not a Greek scholar by no means. But Vines had this definition. The word, there's a lot of different words. The word is spelled K-A-K-O-L-O-G-E-O in the Greek. And I'm not sure if I can pronounce it. But this is what it means. It's only found, I believe it was only found in two places in the New Testament. And what it means is to speak evil of. Not necessarily to curse. What it means is to speak evil of or to speak ill of. To speak with displeasure. To speak harshly. To speak badly. To speak in such a way that inflicts injury. Whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. Whoso speaks ill with displeasure and harshly against their father or their mother. Jesus repeated it. You heard the commandment of Moses. He said, let them die the death. Now today we're not going to take you out and stone you with stones. But I believe there's a death that takes place spiritually in your life if you will open your mouth to speak harsh, ill words against your father and your mother. I think this morning of times in my life when I heard young men say of their father, the old man, he don't know what he's doing. He's trying to rule my life. And they spoke with displeasure. They spoke with harsh words against their father. And I know at least of some of those who today their spiritual life is in shambles. They are wrecked and ruined. They dare to open their mouth and speak evil and ill of their father and their mother. Some even went so far, I know of one incident where it went so far as where the young man was so upset with his father that he literally beat him up and wrestled him down on the ground, and the police had to come to take care of the matter and haul him off to jail. Sad, sad condition. But you don't need to do that this morning to curse your father or your mother. You don't have to wrestle them down to the ground. You just speak with displeasure, harsh words, to revile, This is what it means. To speak ill of means to revile, to reproach angrily or abusively. So I never talk to my parents like that. I don't treat my father like that. Here are some synonyms. Berate. Berate them. Just berate your parents. They didn't do anything right when I grew up. There was nothing that I can appreciate about my parents. And just berate them. And just put them down. Maybe this morning you don't have a lot of good that you can praise your parents for. But I want to challenge you. Who fed you and who clothed you when you were too little to take care of yourself? Who did it? Who got up with you at night when you were crying? Who got up with you and rocked you back to sleep again and nursed you? Who took care of you when you fell and you hurt yourself? Who was it? It was your mother. It was your father. It's an awesome thing to speak evil and to speak ill and angrily against your parents. To berate. To tell off. Well, I told him off. I told the old man off. It's hard for me to even say that. I don't know if I should say that. Young men, don't ever call your father the old man. He's the man of God. He's been ordained by God to be your father. Maybe he's not a Christian. Maybe he's not a man of God. He's still your father, and you are still commanded to honor him. And we'll see what that means. What does it mean to speak evil of, to abuse, to attack with words, to misuse, to mistreat, to indicate one's low opinion of something? I believe the Lord God wants to raise the opinion of our parents in our mind. There are some of us who have swung on the other side in our zeal and our desire to sell out for God and leave father and mother and hate father and mother and leave everything behind. We have swung over on the other side, and now we disregard father and mother and we step over them like they're dirt, and we talk bad about them, and we don't visit them anymore. We don't write them letters anymore. We don't give them a phone call anymore. We don't bless them anymore where we can. God is calling us to honor our father and our mother. We are not to misuse and mistreat them and attack them with words. An awesome thing. Whoso curseth father or mother, whoso mistreats father or mother, whoso despises father or mother, let him die the death. Not he that goes up to his father or mother and says, I hate you, and curses them to their face. It can be that, and I'll tell you, if you don't repent of your sin and your rebellion in your heart, it may come to that. It may come to that. I don't know if that young man ever thought that I will hit my own father, I will hit my own dad, and I will beat him to the ground. But I believe it began as a little seed in his heart of rebellion, and he did not deal with it and repent of it, and it kept growing and growing and growing until one day he found himself sitting in the police station, being questioned by the officers and spending time in jail. And today that man, as far as I know, the last I heard, he had a form of religion, but he sure had no liberty in Christ, and he had no freedom. He had no love and joy in his heart. The message this morning, honor thy father and thy mother. Now let's look on the positive side. What does it mean to honor thy father and thy mother? Sometime we want to explain in here a little more on this gift. But we will begin to look here at honor. I was so challenged and so blessed. Many of you know we laid my mother to rest back in August. And I have no regret for the time that I spent sharing with my mother, blessing her, honoring her in every way that I could. But I'm not saying that to toot my horn. There was areas we failed in. And I look in my past, there was areas that I failed in as a teenager. But you know what? You can go back and ask forgiveness. You can go back to your mother and your father and ask forgiveness. And you need to if you haven't. I did. I encourage you to do the same. Honor means a valuing. Really, it's pretty simple. In Vines, it says a valuing, the importance of. I'd like to ask you this morning, how much worth do you put on your father and your mother? How valuable are they to you? Take a look. Judge. With respect to their worth. How much is your father and your mother worth to you this morning? Value. Hold in high estimation. Some synonyms: appreciating, cherishing, esteeming, prizing, treasuring. Honor your father and your mother. Prize your father and your mother. Appreciate your father and your mother. Esteem your father and your mother. Oh, when I think of it, and I'm talking to us adults now, when I think what it means to your father and your mother, when you come home and you bring your children along and you said, we're going home to Grandpa and Grandma's house, and the children are all excited because you have put it in their hearts and minds the value and respect that you have for your parents. They can't wait to go. I mean, they're all jumping up and down. Let's go to Grandpa and Grandma's house. But I tell you, if you are filled with bitterness and hate toward your father and your mother, and you don't value them, and you speak evil of them, it's going to affect the whole family. It's going to affect your children. It's going to affect the whole thing. And you know what? You are berating your father and your mother. You are not holding them in esteem. You're not honoring them, showing them their respect that is claimed by one as a right. Is it their right that we show them honor and respect? I would dare say so it is their right, because it's a commandment of God. It's not some man-made rule that, well, we should honor our father and our mother, we should go visit them, we should send them a hot meal, or we should go take care of the garden for them because they're getting old, they can't get around too good. Oh, but by the way, I made a commitment to Jesus Christ, and I laid my life on the altar for Him, and I gave my whole life to Him, and I said, I'll be spent for Jesus, and I don't have time to go to my father and mother. I don't have time to go take care of them. Is that any different than the gift that we're talking about here? Oh, I pray for wisdom in this, that we wouldn't swing to one side or the other, and we would bind ourselves up so we aren't free to do mission work because of an ailing father or mother. But let me tell you something. That man who said, let me first go bury my father and mother, that was an excuse. That was not valid. Jesus would not have told him, well, if you don't have anybody to care for your father and your mother, you just let him die there like a dog and you come follow me. I don't believe that. I think we take that scripture and we try to set ourselves free and cast off all our responsibilities and say, well, I'm serving God. Let the dead bury their dead. After all, he's an unbeliever. In fact, that's what some people say that verse means. It says, let the dead who are spiritually dead, let them bury the spiritually dead. We who are Christians don't have time to mess around with funerals. That's not what God says. He says to honor, to show with respect your father and your mother, and to esteem them highly, and to value them highly. You see, another meaning of the word honor is deference, is a synonym of honor. Now, deference means to yield to the opinion or wishes of another. I mean, I was challenged. This little scripture is packed full for us. Honor your father and your mother. Yield to the opinion and the wishes of your father and mother. Yeah, but you say my parents aren't Christians. I can't do that. I didn't say obey them rather than God. And that's what Jesus was teaching when he said, except you hate your father and your mother, you can't be my disciple. That's what he was saying. He wasn't saying, just disregard your father and your mother, forget about them, and come follow me. That's not what Jesus was saying. He said, now if your father and your mother, if they put before you some things that they require of you that hinders you from serving God or makes it so that you cannot serve God, you need to obey me first and be willing to let your father and mother write you off, deny you the inheritance, do whatever they want, but you must follow me. But on the other hand, he did not say that we should just disregard our father and our mother. I just desire so much to bring some balance, balancing truth with truth. I'm not trying to distract the one from the other, not at all. But this is what it says, honor your father and your mother. To respect or esteem. And a synonym is deference, to yield to the opinion or wishes of another. Now we need a lot of wisdom from God to know how to apply this. And I don't want to step overboard in this. But I wondered, we say we want to win our own people. We say we want to have them see Christ in my life. But our father and our mother, maybe they're not as godly as we are. Maybe they don't have quite as much light as we do. But they sit and they say with tears, my son and my daughter, do you really have to change in this area? Can you not serve God in this way? Must you change? And I'd like to get real practical. Must you change the way you dress? Must you change what you do? Can you not honor God and continue to wear a certain modest clothes that our people will accept, and then they'll not accuse you of, oh, see, I told you they just wanted more liberalism. I ask each one of us to examine our hearts very carefully in this matter. Because you can say, well, but I'm serving God. And I'm not bound anymore to cape dresses. And I'm not bound anymore to plain suits. And I'm not bound anymore. Well, bless God, you're not bound. But you may be bound by the law of love. You may be bound by the law of love to your father and your mother to honor them. Oh, but I can't be free to serve God that way. I remember a dear lady. You might know of her. I won't mention her name, I don't believe. I know she would not desire any honor. That's why I won't mention it. But she's a very plain lady. Very modest. I mean, she is very plain. Her dress has come to the floor and she's got a big covering on. And she's out there on the highway. And, you know, people say, well, I can't minister to the world like this. But she's out there on the highway. And bless God, there's an accident on the road. And she goes up into that accident. And she walks right in there like an angel of God. And she gets to pray with the sick person. And nobody say, oh no, you've got bad clothes on. Get out of here. You must be some religious person. We don't want you around. No, nobody's saying that. Because she's adorned with the meekness of Christ Jesus. And her face is aglow with the glory of God. And people don't even see her clothes. Bless God. Because she has the Spirit of Christ emanating out of her life. Oh, but I'm free now and I don't want to be bound to these things. I really respect and appreciate it when someone honors their father and mother where they can. And that's all God is requiring of us. He didn't say, for the suffering of the kingdom, you do this, you keep this commandment. But he said, you do it as far as it is possible. In fact, he doesn't even say that here. We have to sort of read that into it and balance truth with truth to get that. But he says, you're to honor your father and your mother. You are to give deference, which is to yield to the opinion or wishes of another. I just say this morning, consider very seriously. You may be free to change from one mode of dress that is accepted in your background and standard to another mode that is also modest. But what are your parents going to say about it? What are your brothers and sisters going to say about it? What are your old church friends going to say about it? See, I told you, I told you that's what they wanted. And you discredit and defame the name of Christ because you're not willing to be a servant unto all men and bear the cross and the yoke as much as you possibly can so that you might win others to Christ. Now I want to balance it this morning. I'm not saying you better stay in all your dark religious clothes and things. I'm not saying that. But I am saying this morning, we need to seek the wisdom of God so that we don't violate the commandment of God and we're just as guilty as those hypocrites in those shoes because we say, yeah, but I want to serve God and all my life, everything I have, it's a gift to God. And oh, by the way, Father, Mother, whatever you'd have been profited by me in my godly reverence and godly honor to you, I've given it to the Lord. I just want you to know I've given it to the Lord and I'm serving God. Don't look for me around here very much. I'm going to serve God. You can just have your dead religion. I'm going to serve God. Are you going to win your parents to Christ that way? Are you going to be a sweet savor, a sweet offering, a sweet incense to them? And they're going to say, oh, I'm so glad for my son and my daughter that they found a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ and that they are keeping and holding fast to the Word of God and they're honoring us and they're not going against us. They're not violating us. They're not speaking ill of us. Well, I believe this morning we need to take a good hard look at it. I'm serious. We don't want just another denominationalism. We don't want to all fit into one mold. Bless God, if you come up from a certain background where the dress is modest and it's scriptural and everything, you don't have to change so we all look like we're all stamped out of the same cookie cutter. We're not preaching conformity this morning, but we are preaching conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the principles that are written in this book. And that is not some outward external conformity. That is an inward conformity of the heart who blesses God and honors their father and mother in it all. You know, Paul took it pretty far. I'll tell you what, if you want to see a good example, he said, I've become all things to all men so that I might win some. He did. He didn't just say it with lip service. He did it. Now, I'm not sure where to put all of that. I think many of us would stumble before we get that far as to take a Nazarite vow and shave our head. See, it just goes against our standard. It's not right. Another synonym of honor is to bow of respect and submission. To just bow in respect and submission. As far as the Lord would have you to, of course, as long as it goes not against His Word. But I know our heart is pretty deceitful, pretty desperately wicked, and we can come up with all kinds of reasons why we don't have to bow. But I tell you this morning, you evaluate it and weigh it in the before the presence of God. Now, another definition of honor is to enhance the status of. Wonderful. Maybe I said that wrong. Status. To enhance the status of. To improve in value. To enhance the status of one is their relative situation or condition. Their rating, their positioning in relation to others as in a social order or a community or a church. You know, you have the power to enhance the status of your parents. You do. You have the power with this tongue and with your life to enhance the status of your parents. You can bless them. You can speak kind words about them. Maybe they're not a believer, but you can still bless them where they've taught you, where they've taught you many things, and where they've been good and caring parents, and they haven't left you to rot out on the street. They took care of you. They trained you up. Maybe they weren't the best of parents. Maybe they weren't angels. Maybe they weren't perfect, but they did do something for you. Bless them for it. The honoring of your father and mother looks for the place where we can put a blessing and we can command a blessing on our parents. The dishonor, cursing, looks for the evil and the bad and looks for the negative and says, oh, but my parents, they never had family devotions. They didn't do this and they didn't do that. And it just picks on the bad. But God says, you are to honor your father and mother. You are to value them and esteem them highly. And thereby, you can improve their status, the value of them. What do people think when they hear? Oh my, you've been just rattling your mouth, blowing off, berating your parents to your teenage friends, or to your close neighbor, or whatever. Now what do they think of your father and mother? You have just berated them. You have just belittled them. Oh, I tell you, there's power in those words, and they will come back to bite you and to haunt you unless you repent of them. Oh, honor, exalt, magnify, give undue attention or emphasis to. Honor? Yes. Give undue an attention to your father and your mother. Pour honey all over them. Just go over there and bless them. And sing for them. They'll love it. They will. Ah, but they're so traditional. They wouldn't like that. Well, then figure out another way to do it. Go ahead then. Bake them a cake if you can't go sing for them. Go ahead and bless them in that way. Say, can my children come over and can we come and clean your garden? It's pretty hot this afternoon. You just sit down and rest a while. We'll come and we'll take care of your chores. How about it? They don't need to be born-again believers to honor your parents in that way. Go ahead and bless them. Honor them. Exalt them. Give them undue attention. Visits. Letters. Cards. Gestures of appreciation. Thank them. Tell them. I mean, you might not know how your parents are just craving to hear you say, Father, I want to thank you for all you did for me. Mom, I didn't treat you too kindly when I was young, but I see things differently now. Will you forgive me? Mom, I love you. How can I honor you? How can I help you? Honor your father and your mother. How much worth are they to you? How do they rate? You know, you hear the expression, she don't rate too well. He don't rate too good. I ask you, just think with me, what is the worth of your father and your mother? How do they rate? Have you allowed yourself to be deceived into this very situation, and your religion has become vain? Awesome. You're laying aside the commandment of God. Your religion is a lip service. You wonder what's wrong. God seems so far away. I tell you, if you spoke evil and ill and harsh words of your mother or your father, don't wonder me why you feel far away from God. There's many things we can do to honor our father and our mother. Maybe your father and mother are from a distance. The Lord called you to move, and you know it was God that called you to move. I don't want to lay anything upon anyone this morning that the Lord doesn't lay upon anyone. But how regular are the visits? Well, maybe it's too far. Well, then okay, the phone calls. How regular are those? How regular are the letters? But I'm not a good writer. Well, then use the telephone. When was the last time you blessed your parents? You just blessed them. You just lavished upon them love and kindness and appreciation. Oh, it blesses a father or a mother so when the daughter says, you know, Mom, I want to be just like you when I get big. And they're not only 5 anymore when they say that, but they're 15, or they're 16, or 17. You know, Dad, I really appreciate you. I want to be just like you. Many of parents are left to sit alone. We face a dire need in our country. You can go out into nursing homes where they're sitting there and they haven't had visitors for a long time. Because the children have forsaken their father and their mother. Oh, but not in plain circles, you say. No, that would never happen around here. But just the other day I heard about it. There's 6 or 7 children in the family, and father's getting a little ailing. He can't care for himself too well anymore. But only one of the children is willing to take care of dad. All the others say, put him to the home. Put him off to the home. We don't want to be bothered. I fear we stand in need, brothers and sisters. This is not something light. This is not something to just skim over. I would encourage your deep meditation upon this. There's a law of sowing and reaping here too. You honor your father and your mother. You rise up and you call them blessed. And you serve them. And you submit yourself to them in every way you can. A little more practicality here. There's no law in the Bible that says you have to shave your face in order to be a Christian. So if my father, if his background and tradition is that all the men should be bearded, well, now I'm free. I can go ahead and I can shave. And you can flip it around. You can say, well, you know, my background is that if you really want to be a Christian, you need to shave your face. And that's sad that there is such things, but there are. And if Paul could shave his head, well, I believe I can continue to shave my face to honor my parents. I don't believe God is going to throw me out for that. But now if I'm going to a heathen country and nation where any shaven man is an idol worshiper, oh, it's altogether different. Now I will not shave my face there. You see, it's so simple. It's so practical. Oh, but I'm free now. I don't have to come under my parents anymore. Well, you don't have to, but I'll tell you, you're going to miss a big blessing if you don't, as long as it does not interfere with serving God. Curse. No, I don't curse my father and my mother. I don't do that. I mean, I don't swear at them. I don't use obscene language. I don't speak violently to their face. But do you ever speak evil with displeasure harshly, inflicting injury to the depths of their soul? I'll tell you, that is worse than hitting them on the face with your fist. To revile, reproach, berate, tell off, fall them out good. Let it come out of my mouth, my opinion, my low opinion of my parents. Treat them improperly. Yeah, they can just go off to the nursing home. I'm too busy making money. I don't have time. Or, I'm too busy serving God. I've dedicated my life to the Lord, and what they should receive from me, it's a gift. It's a gift, Dad. You know, what you should have been profited by me, I've dedicated to God. It's a gift. Sorry, there's nothing for you. Have a good time there in the nursing home. If you're still living when I get back, I'll say hello to you. I believe we don't do any injustice to the Scripture to say that Jesus just reaffirmed this commandment right here. He never said, oh, that was the Old Testament law. Forget it, it's past. You don't need to do that anymore. The only difference is we don't take you out and stone you, but you still die. You still die. You still die spiritually, slowly. Every time you speak evil of your father and your mother, you're dying. You're dying. You're dying. You can't get away with it. I remember how the Lord smote me To me, it was a horror to first hear how some young people spoke of their parents. I would have never thought of it. I mean, it was awful. But you know, after a while with those evil companions, evil communications corrupt good manners, and after a while something slipped out of your mouth, and the Lord just smote me. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it again. Do you love your father and your mother? Do you honor them? Do you hold them in high esteem, high estimation? Do you yield your will to theirs as long as it doesn't interfere with serving God? You want to win them to Christ, don't you? You want to win those people of your background to Christ? Well, then don't use your liberty where it'll become a stumbling block for the very thing you want to do. People do it all the time. Well, I'm free now. I'm not bound to this anymore. And your parents are watching. And your old friends are watching. And your old church folks are watching. They're watching you to see if you're going to come out right. They're watching. And all you need to do is take your liberty and foolishly flaunt your liberty, and they'll write you off. I trust the Lord to help each one of us in our meditations to take this message and apply it to our hearts and lives. And it won't be bad either. If you've made a change in your life that has greatly wounded your father and mother, it won't hurt you a bit to go back to them and tell them you're sorry and change your ways. But I'm not saying that you need to dress yourself up in all the black deadness of religion. That's not what I'm saying. I don't particularly care to be identified with an unbeliever. But not all. Not all plain people are unbelievers. Not all are crooked. Not all are wicked. Some love the Lord. Some are sincere. So I just plead with you this morning. Hear what the Lord saith from heaven. These were the statutes and the commandments given by God. On there on Mount Sinai, where the mountain smoked and trembled and the people dare not touch it. And then here comes Jesus. And when he wants to give them a practical example of where they're vain, their religion is vain, their worship is vain, all their things they're doing is vain, he says, you've gone and you've thought that somehow we can make a higher law where we give our gifts to God, what should go to my parents, and we'll get away with it. And Jesus said, no, you won't. You are violating the principles of God. You are violating the law of God. And you're lifting up your tradition ahead of the Word of God. And you're making it of none effect. And I tell you today, if you want the Word of God to have effect in your life and a witness to your family, you cannot do those things. You wonder why your testimony don't have any effect? Could it be? You've made the Word of God of none effect so that I can be in liberty. By the way, I go to charity. I got delivered from my sins. I got set free. I got full of the Holy Ghost. And I don't need to do those things anymore. I believe it's real, brothers and sisters. I really do. And I say, like I said in the beginning, I don't want to overextend myself. We want to balance truth with truth. He that is not willing to forsake his father and his mother and his houses and his lands cannot be my disciple. But don't foolishly use that and flaunt your liberty and dishonor your father and your mother and say, I don't care how it breaks their heart. I don't care how much they weep. I'm going to change because I'm free to do so. No, you're not free. You're bound by the moral law of love. And you're bound by the commandment of Jesus Christ, reaffirmed, honor your father and your mother. That it may be well with you. Shall we kneel together in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, I ask that you would just take these little meditations, these words of yours, Father, and allow them to pierce deep down into our heart, Lord, that we wouldn't be found guilty of being sacrilegious and say we're free, but we're violating you left and right. Oh, Father, I pray. Today we just look again at our father and our mother, and we ask, Lord, that you would implant within our hearts right attitudes and right heart motives, Lord. Oh, Father, and forgive us for where we have failed. And, Lord, I pray, Give us courage and strength that we wouldn't flip-flop around. I pray, God, that this message would not be used of the enemy for someone to go back to the Regan Federally element and fall under bondage. We don't want that to happen, God. But Lord, we don't want people to just cast off and go their own way. That's not right either, Lord. So, Father, I plead with you, Lord. This is a delicate subject, and I plead with you, Father, that you would, by your Spirit, guide and direct every soul under the sound of my voice, that they would be stable and rooted and grounded in the Word and in Christ Jesus their Lord, and that they would not flip-flop around and do a great disgrace and shame to their parents or to their own life. Father, I pray that because of these words, the gospel would be furthered. It would be expanded, Lord. Oh, Father, deliver us from denominationalism and external conformity. But may we be conformed to the image of Christ. And let there be a variety here, Lord, a variation of expression. But let it be modest. Let it be holy. Let it be simple. Let it be plain and what you've called us to be, Lord. But not anything in the wrong sense, not some outward adorning, so that men would look at our long robes and say, oh, look at those religious people. Father, I pray, let it be genuine. Let it be real in our hearts, Lord, that we can serve God with a godly fear and reverence and honor. Father, as we think of Jesus and the example he gave, how he honored his Father. Yes, Joseph and Mary, he was in subjection to them, and he stayed there and he honored his parents in that sense. But then also he honored you, Lord God, with all of his life. He did not those things that pleased himself. He received not honor of men because he knew it was vain. Oh, Father, I pray today, may our highest motive and goal be to honor and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the second commandment, which is likely unto it, to love our neighbors as ourselves. And yes, our fathers and our mothers, to honor them and to bless them and appreciate them. Oh, Father, I pray, let thy word, like a sharp two-edged sword, do its work. We trust you for it, dear God, and commit the rest of the service into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Aaron, for that timely challenge. In a crowd of this size, I'm sure that there would be many whose thoughts have gone far in their own particular situations. And I'm sure there are many who have wrestled with some of their own words and attitudes toward their parents. I'm just wondering, well, it wouldn't be a little wisdom this morning to give a little time here for someone to respond to that message. Maybe you need some help. Maybe you would like to confess your rebellion that you've never confessed and how you have exercised yourself against your parents. Maybe you're not sure where you're at. You can't sort through the religious part and the honor part. And you're confused about that. I think we would just bow our heads here for a bit. And if someone would like to respond and get some things clear or have a counselor and dump your past out to the Lord, and we... just invite you to come forward. We're not going to sing a song. And just kneel here, and we'll get someone to go with you into the basement to help you. Is there anyone who would like to come? We don't want to close the service without giving you an opportunity to respond. Teenagers, young people, are you kicking against the pricks at home with agitated attitudes? Angry words, belligerent spirits, you come. If God has spoken to your heart. All right, God's blessing to you. And we certainly want to let that invitation open, because it is a very serious one. So at this time, I think we'll just open it up. Maybe some of you have something, a personal testimony to give, or something to add as to how God spoke to your own heart through the message in your own experience, and want to share it with us. Feel free. Right up here we have two. Brother Emmanuel.
Yes, well, I thank God for this message. I must confess my failures in that area of my attitudes and my ways of not honoring my father, my mother, being raised Amish. And I really appreciated my parents. I still do. And then at the time of our conversion, it was a very difficult time because of the light we received, and the darkness we saw was still in their lives. But I can truly say that my dad, I love him like a father. He treats me like a son when I come home.
Mm-hmm.
I just really appreciate that. And it hadn't been that way with my mom. She had, and I don't want to speak evil of her, but she found it real hard to accept. And there was a lot of hurts there. And we've just kind of withdrawn from them. We have not visited them as often as we should have. But God has done a work in my heart in this past month in this very area.
Amen.
And I'm blessed. I'm excited because I believe that God gave me a vision of going home and spending a day with them, taking my sons along, maybe help Dad haul manure a day, maybe help strip tobacco a day. I don't know what it is. Just to go. It's been over 6 years that we've eaten there. A meal because of the ban. And we just feel kind of rejected. We just feel that they don't want us over meal time. But God put it in my heart to go home. Maybe go home around 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning, and work there till dinner time. If they don't invite us in, we can go to McDonald's or somewhere. But I believe they'll invite us in. I believe we'll bless them when we come like that. And I know God has set my spirit free.
Yes.
I mean, I've carried hurts like that from my mother. But I want to bless God because you have set my spirit free.
Amen.
And this message this morning is such a blessing to me. I just love it.
Amen.
I praise God for it because I look forward to again having more of a oneness with my parents. Praise God.
Right next to you there. Anyone else? Raise your hand over here. Okay, back here you have one, two. Go ahead. Go ahead. That's all right.
I just want to thank the Lord for sealing us with the Holy Spirit after we believed, and leading us to all truths. And I would just like to share an experience I had with my parents. Like today, when I asked people if they wanted to come forward today, it takes a long time to work that out in your spirit to come before your parents. And it took me maybe 6 or 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit of God just went on my heart that I wanted to say something to my parents. I prayed on it and prayed on it, and 6 and 7 months, and finally I just put a note on a door in the living room when they would come in the house that they would read it. And I made it as big as the door almost.
Mm-hmm.
And on it I said, I want them to forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
For every single time I was ever disobedient.
Amen.
Not just
yes, thank
a general one.
I wanted
to beg them to forgive me for every single time.
That's right.
And I wanted to see in their heart that they could forgive me for everything. And it just changed.
Amen.
The relationship that it just was unbelievable. I guess my father must have held something to my account that I still will never know, because my father passed on a week after that. And he was in good No one would ever believe that he would have ever died and was still in shock. But a week before he died, that happened. And I was just so thankful for it. And he went and had a family get together, and we don't get together with our family because of different things. But he went with my brothers, and he said, "Oh, big brother Wally, we had such a great time." And a great time was that forgiveness and sharing the Lord, that it just made his passing just so much more beautiful.
Yes.
And I would just like to give that to people to share. Now, I know when we come to the Lord, he does separate us from our families, and sometimes I guess it just seems like everybody I talk to, it just separates you from your family. But it just seems like that's just a short while, and sooner or later, the Lord just works it out.
Hallelujah.
And you can't see that he'll work it out, but he'll work it out every single time. The Lord could just flow and all, heal all the hurts and the wounds and different things with families. Each family has its own sort of things that just follow down from the Father that we want to cut out with our children. And I just praise the Lord for what he's done in my life.
And thank
I just
you.
Thank Jesus.
Thank you, Brother Walter. All right. Back here. And back, way in the back, Aaron is another.
I want to say about my parents. At the age of 15, I was really rebellious, and I done a lot of things to my parents, and a couple times they wanted to disown me, and now I can say by the grace of God, I have a relationship with them. They want me to come visit them and everything. It's just
thank
wonderful.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. All right, Brother Harold, is it your back here? And all the way in the back, just another brother.
Yes, well, I thank the Lord for this message this morning, for the messages, all three of them. Now, I guess I'm going to speak from the other side this morning as a parent who knows the hurt.
Yes.
And I guess some of the deepest hurts I've ever experienced was the hurt of children who didn't honor me.
That's right.
Now, I realize, you know, part of that's my own and part of it isn't. And the longings that I would have for my children and grandchildren, I don't see.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'm not sure how to say what's on my heart. It's a heavy thing, but I'm thankful for the for the brothers and sisters and the grandchildren here that God's put into my life that weren't there by blood.
Yes, that's right.
And the daughters and the sons, and
yes,
it's a blessing.
Amen.
But there's still a deep, deep yearning.
Yes.
So I'd just like to throw out that appeal. I guess I must say that sometimes that pain is greater than even than the pain of my wife having left and divorced me.
Thank you, brother. Brother Jeff Parker? Someone else?
Yeah, I'd just like to say I'm thankful today for the balance that we heard. I was thinking, it reminded me of about 6 months ago. My mom had cleaned out the attic and gave me all of my report cards from grammar school. And the grades were average grades. And I read the comments in the back by the teacher. And they were consistently, as each grade I went through, and each quarter you get 4 report cards per year, were comments about my attitude, about my rebellion, many areas that were just not good. And I thought, under each statement from the teacher, there was a signature, and that was my mom's. And as I read those comments, and I just started to go through my mind.
Yes.
What an embarrassment for my parents to have to sign that report card and send it back.
That's right.
And I could have used the excuse of lack of good teaching by part of my parents, but that didn't really enter my mind. I just wanted to sit down and write my mom a letter and my dad a letter and just apologize.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, it was the greatest feeling. I just felt free. I was so blessed by the Lord that they knew my heart. And I really appreciated this preaching today. It just really blessed my heart. Thank you.
John.
I want to thank Brother Aaron and Brother John for speaking the Word of God this morning without holding back. Especially what Brother Aaron had to say. This is a real burden on my heart.
Keep your hand up over here.
I'm asking the Brotherhood here to pray for me in my situation with my mother and myself. Well, my mother is in her mid-70s. She lives alone in California. For a long time. I'm sorry. It's such a deep-rooted thing. But I'm just standing before you because I don't know what to do. My mother's an alcoholic. I love her, but she's so bitter against God and against any form of religion because her life was very hard with my father. Mm-hmm. He passed on in 1981, and my father's last words to me were very harsh. But as you can see, my spirit is broken this morning.
Yes.
I want to love my mother and I want to honor her. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how. She's 3,000 miles away. And she's sick. She fought off cancer. She wants her liberty, she wants her freedom to go about and do what she wants. But she also wants me. Because my two sisters have rejected her. And she lives alone. And I just want prayer that somehow God would show me how to honor my mother before that time. And I just want to say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for how I've dishonored you by being frustrated with my mother when she calls sometimes.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Sister Gail.
I just want to give honor to my parents this morning and tell them thank you for the parents they've been to me and the example that they led me in. It was because of their example that I could come to know the Lord, and taking me to a Baptist church all of my life, I came to know Christ there. But I knew Him as Savior, but I didn't follow Him. I went my own way. And it was 5 years ago then that He became Lord of my life.
Amen.
And now I know that I've been crucified with Christ.
Hallelujah.
And no longer I that live, but Christ live in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God that gave Himself for me. And thank you.
Yes, thank the Lord. Back here.
I seen the principles worked out in my own home that Brother Aaron was talking about, especially the one in the Old Testament there of the curse of being on a child. And I know growing up, coming to the teen years, there were things that my father asked or had convictions on and wanted worked out in his children. And where I always felt to honor him in it And as for the years that followed, I obeyed it. It was some things that maybe were a church rule, but I felt, because my father asked me specifically, that I felt the need to honor it. But I had a brother that was exactly the opposite, disobeyed and rebelled almost every principle that they wanted him to do, and today his life is a total mess. He's in his 60s, and he's possessed with all kinds of evil spirits, even as of now, and it just shows the downgrade of his life and the pattern of his life totally. It's he's never been able to find victory and deliverance. I believe possibly it's maybe this is the area that he's never really repented of the rebellion against the parents. And it's just, I can see the picture so clearly, where my heart was to obey and honor. Not that I did everything perfectly. I failed. And in areas that I know that I didn't do everything, but I know specific areas that he would have asked me. And I just see the picture there of my brother there.
And here's the secret. He was not born demon-possessed. Those of us who know him, he's a living demonstration of a boy who fostered rebellion from his young years, 12, 13, 14, and developed into final, where the devil took over. May God help us in that. Someone over here who has in the back there.
Yes, I'm thankful that God can melt stony hearts. He had to melt mine. And he's working on my dad. It's been 16 and a half years since I left my home for Jesus' sake. And there was some rough times. And there was a time that I apologized to my mom and dad for the way things went when I left, that I didn't always do things the right way. And then they apologized too, that they haven't always done things the right way.
Yes.
And there was a time that I felt that my mom and dad disowned me, but then there was a time that they said, I'm welcome to come home. So now we haven't been there for a while, and we've been there to see them just a couple weeks ago. And as soon as we got there, my dad came to the car and requested, for the first time since I'm married, of course, that I would speak Dutch. And my husband and I looked at each other, and we said, sure, and I'll translate for my husband. And we did, and everything went fine. And we had a good little visit there, and thank you. And then we left. We went to go home. And for the first time since I left, my dad wouldn't shake hands with me to say goodbye to me. And I just started blessing him. And his heart just melted in front of me, it appeared like.
Yes.
And it really does work to bless, even when they don't bless us.
Amen.
And it was just the power of God.
That's right.
And we just went away rejoicing that God can change hearts. We can't.
That's right.
And we're just really excited. I believe that God is working in his heart, and he doesn't understand himself, but we just see it as God's hand in it all. And all these other times, he's always defended me. You know, when other people would do bad to me or say bad things about me, he always stood up for me. But this time, it was different. Mm-hmm. But I think it's God.
By the grace of God, I've begged him to help me in reconciliation with my parents. And I esteem and value that what we've heard today to be some of the answers to those prayers. And very timely, since Lord willing, we're leaving this afternoon to go see them again and visit. And we were in a ministry, I believe, that overreacted with the verses, some of them the brother mentioned. You can add on other ones, and I won't even maybe mention them, but they had studies about it, about flesh relations. But that one where Christ did that discourse about it is Corbin, that was fearful to me. And I had to acknowledge the context there. So fearful that it's one of the reasons we left the ministry. And we fled back to the East Coast. And thank God my parents are still alive. And they still are now. Amazingly, especially my dad. So I pray for the brothers would help me to acknowledge this moderation the brother labored with this morning. Yes. It makes me bring about that verse, if we can lay a hold to rightly divide this, and then we can carry out that verse where let our moderation be made known unto all men. I look, I need to take it more at heart and devote more time and humble myself, and I really do think this has been an answer to help rightly divide some things.
Amen.
I look forward to our future gatherings. And it is a blessing to bless them. I know we set them down with something this Christmas time and read a card to them. Oh, I just hope he opens up more doors like that. Just opens them up. Brother Aaron, I really esteem how you were able to see your mom off. And again, I hope I can do that with my dad. So may I humble myself and see where I've been causing none effect to the commandment.
Yes.
And really, really lay myself out. And God help me in it. I esteem it as much as a mission as if you send us off to another country.
Yes.
Amen. To just go and, oh, may God just pour out a reconciliation and we all be His. That we all be the Lord's.
Yes.
And have that hope and faith and rejoice in that.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.